Welcome to Metal Waveform. Hey, and welcome with a Metal Brain Fart with me, Daru Metal, and Blue Thunderhead. How's it going, man?
Hey, dude, I'm doing all right. It's been a while, but yeah, I feel like it's good to be back again.
Yeah, the last week we was in dark because I have so much shit to do and I couldn't record my single episode, and you have some problems, so also we couldn't record. But hey, we're back.
Yeah, I mean, it sometimes happens that we don't really... I mean, the thing is, our recording window is very slim for the week. So if we miss that particular window, it's like basically no fucking show. And I've been a bit on the lazy side as well. I haven't finished my solo projects either. But I am going to do it sometime soon so that we'll have something to present during dead weeks. But yeah. But I mean, it's better to be out doing something than nothing. And if there's like a week that where nothing happens, I don't... I mean, I hope it's all right at least. I mean, I haven't received any personal complaints. Maybe you have. Yeah. I don't know.
Nah, they just ask me, and I say, I don't know. Probably I'm going to release something by myself because we couldn't record, but. I have so much work, and basically what happened is after work I came home, just eat and put the TV, for example, some news or whatever, and I woke up in the morning like 4 o'clock in the morning with my clothes on the couch, so you can guess how I was.
Yeah, I can certainly guess, I guess. Well, yeah, well, yeah, well, we're back at least now again, and how has your 2 weeks been? Has there been a lot of... I mean, I'm not really interested in hearing about what you've done at work because I already know, but
like I told you, man, basically that was my 2 weeks, and during the weekend I was like at the club, and you know, in the club a lot of alcohol is involved. So
yeah, the memory is not always spot on after these club
sometimes you don't remember how you go back to home, and it's always funny.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I've just been doing the shit I usually do, which is like really like looking for jobs and delivering ads and shit. And now that job, my side job so to speak, has become a lot more how should I say, pleasant to do, because there's been like excellent weather for these past weeks. I think we had like 2 or 3 days during this week that was a little bit shitty and cold, but it's been very pleasant, very very sunny, so I really
As a mailman, I totally agree with you. It's not hot as hell, but it's not cold or slippery, so it's best time.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best time now, I feel, because you know, I don't really particularly enjoy these summers we've been having, but I mean, the spring times have been good.
So spring and fall, man.
Spring and fall are the best. That's a sign you're getting older, is that you don't like... I mean, when you were a kid, the best times of year were like winter and summer, but now it's like autumn and spring instead, for me at least. I don't know what it is for you, because for you from a...
I know I'm old. Thank you to remind me, because probably I gonna forget. But I still love winter. The problem is right now, since I'm working like what 5 years with this job, And I'm driving moped during the winter in the snow and all that ice. That's the problem I have with the winter. Otherwise, man, I love the winter, especially if it's like 2 meters snow, sitting next to a fireplace, eating some steak and drinking wine or some alcohol, listening to music. That's amazing. Or reading a book, magazine, or watching a porn, man, in that case as well.
Yeah, it's always nice to be inside, but that's the kind of thing about the winter, because it's a little bit hit and miss. It can be nice to be outside and do some winter activities, but I mean, you know, I've grown to dislike it over the years. It's not as fun, you know, when you were a kid, I feel, about winter. So for me, that's not really too interesting anymore.
And also the nature is good during the winter, all white and whatever. But I mean,
it looks nice, but I mean, looking nice and feeling nice, that's two different, two completely different things, you know.
Yeah. The worst part is when it's swooshy and muddy and all that fucked up shit, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's the worst part.
Yeah, it totally is. And it always comes at some point, so, but... Yeah, whatever. Now it feels like it's, like, full-on spring and the sun is shining and I'm happy, at least. I actually went out for a bit of a walk, actually, before we started recording. Because because the sun is out now, and I felt like, you know, I'll be sitting inside and like fucking, you know, lining up or trying to sync our fucking tracks for like 2.5 hours, and you know, get all that shit to work. So I guess I thought that okay, it's either now or never, because the sun will be down before I'm done with this fucking shit. So the things we do for you people, man.
Yeah, we appreciate our listeners. Doesn't matter, it's like two people.
Yeah, well,
or 2.5.
I am going to talk a bit about. I have a thing to bring up, but that's more towards the end of the show.
Yeah,
but
because they were like 4 people, but you insult Germany and Japan, so now it's like 2.5 people.
Oh.
Fun stuff. All right, man.
Do you wanna get into the picks of the week, so to speak?
Yeah, man. Why not? Why not? And in my show that I'm hosting, radio show Metal Hell on Vekans Metal Radio, I play a song from Bulgarian band that is called Symbolic. It's thrash metal, yeah. It's the same name as the metal, as the death metal band the Symbolic, but it's from Bulgaria. It's not from US or whatever. And I start to listen the whole album, and I forget how good it is. It's the second album from 2010, Divide et Impera, or whatever. My Latin is native, you know, and that's why probably I butchered the name so bad.
Divide et Impera, I think that's the correct. Divide et Impera. I noticed that this band only has like Latin phrases as album titles.
Yeah.
Mea culpa, ad hoc. That's.
And actually, if you check Mea culpa, I think was. Just to be 100% sure, if you're on the Metal Archives,
I'm always right now on Metal Archives.
Okay. Yeah, Mea culpa. If you check Mea culpa, doesn't you remember of Creator?
Dude, when this came up, I was like, this looks fucking familiar.
It's I think was from. Pleasure to Kill, if I don't like myself.
No. It's the album that came after. I don't know what. I don't remember what it was called, but I know.
I have it on my vinyl collection, but I'm not gonna. jump right now. Terrible certainty.
Yeah, just for the people in the audience, just check out the Mea Culpa cover. And for those of you who know your creator shit, you will definitely recognize that. But
except the demon.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same cover, but it's minus that creator demon, or whatever.
Yeah, probably the creator demon go and take a leak or drinking some beer and then.
He's on
symbolic
break.
Take a shot.
He's on break.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my pick of the week, man. The worst part of this band is split up. I have opportunity to see them a couple of times, like 5 times, I think. They always have been great live, and I hope they can make some reunion and record new material. So, Stavri, if you are listening to this, do some reunion, man.
you heard the boss. Get back together, for fuck's sake. All right. Okay, so you had Symbolic, Divide et Impera. And now it's my turn, and I have something from France, as a matter of fact. It's a fairly new album. It's the band Véhémence, and it's their new album, Odalier. I think that's the correct pronunciation. I actually used to study French in school way back, but it could be
same, man.
Odai or Odalier. I don't know, because it's some black metal stuff, but it's very like folk inspired, sort of very melodic driven in a way. I mean,
It's not like this true black metal like Mayhem and whatever. It's more like melodic.
No. It's not like the old school shit. No, I mean, I hate saying this because, I mean, every black metal fan out there is going to think that I'm some fucking noob, which I am, of course, because black metal is something I've recently gotten into, but this reminds me of Dissection. But more medieval in a way. So it reminds me of the Somberlane, because the Somberlane album had some medieval things thrown in, like, you know, the classical guitar bits and things, and Véhémence, they have the same thing in their music, and I really dig it, because I'm into like this medieval ambient thing as well. So they combine like this medieval style ambient with the you know, melodic black metal, and I was really, really impressed with it. It was an album that came out this year, and so far it's... I'm feeling like the albums that are coming out are... The new albums that have been coming out so far. We're almost at a 1/4 of this year, almost. And I feel so far there's been... you know, I mean, not everyone... not all titles have been... you know, heavy hitters, but I think so far there's been a lot of good new releases, or at least, you know, we've had bands like Saxon and Sabaton coming back, you know, releasing, you know.
Yeah, and also Generation Q. For me, Generation Q was one of the top albums this year.
What was that? Now again?
That was MK Ultra. That was my pick of the week at the last show, I think.
Okay. But didn't some German band release something recently? You know, German Friday. Was it Sodom? Was it Destruction or something? I don't remember.
No. Destruction release, I think, live DVD. Destruction, yeah. Diabolical.
Yeah.
They release. Yeah, thanks for reminding me. I need to check it out, because I hear like one or two songs from the album. And I don't know, but also we are expecting the 8th album of Protector this year, around 1st of July.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's cool. Well, I'm seeing here that apparently there's a new Dark Funeral album out there. And that's a band I haven't gotten into yet. But I'll check it out.
I don't know. What I hear with Dark Funeral back in the days, and that's why I didn't check it more. They remind me a little bit of Dion Borger, and they're so boring for me. But hey, once again, I'm like you with black metal. I listen some black metal, but I'm not a huge fan. So Dark Funeral doesn't do anything for me back in the days. Probably I'm going to check it again. And definitely I don't like Dion Borger, man. Last time, it was my first time when I saw them at Jefle 2019, before the COVID, at the Jefle Metal Festival with my friends, and I was like, oh no man, I'm going at the camp. And they, oh no, no, stay, we gonna buy you a beer or whatever. And I was like, oh fuck, I wanna go. No, they brought me like two beers, and I took the beers like for 2 minutes, and basically I saw like 1.5 max 2 songs, and I just ran screaming because I was so fucking bored of this band.
Fucking hell. I mean, at least you got something out of it. I had an experience where I think it was like a Gävle Metal way back. And
Getaway or Rock or whatever.
Whatever. I don't know which. I don't remember exactly, but it could have been 2012, so it was Getaway. Whatever. I met this guy who I used to play in a band with at the festival area, and he was like, "Yeah, fuck, it's been a while. Hey, tag along, and we'll go check out Satyricon." And I was like, okay, sure. I haven't really listened to them. I've heard like bits and pieces, and I thought they were fucking boring, to be honest. I think, honestly, among the, you know, most popular black metal bands, I think Satyricon is probably the most fucking boring band.
I like Satyricon.
Sorry. I have to finish this story. And I wasn't disappointed, because they were fucking boring. Because they don't really play fast. They play like mid-tempo, almost like shoegaze fucking kind of a... I mean, it's not really... I don't know. I remember they were hated by true black metallers for a while, because they were like mainstream or something, that they had a sound that were a little bit easier on the ear. And I'm like, yeah, I can totally see that point, but I mean, for the most part, I just find them fucking boring. It's just boring.
Well, most of the people start to hate Satyricon around the same time as Behemoth, and I think a little bit of Dark Throne, because they released a little bit more friendly sounding albums around 2008, I think, when The King, the song of Satyricon, came out. And to be honest, I start to listen to Satyricon, and I like them exactly after this period. And then I go back to a catalog and listen to the old stuff. I saw them twice, I think, or three times. And I like them, but like we said before, different people, different taste.
Yeah, I guess so. So, I mean, I don't know. Apparently, I haven't listened to a single song of Dark Funeral, because I always mix up Dark Funeral with Marduk, because Marduk I've been listening to and I kind of like, but Dark Funeral I have never listened to. But both are from Sweden and they're from the north, so I guess that's why I mix them up for some fucking reason.
A lot
of black metal fans out there are gonna be like pissed at us for like being so fucking black metal illiterate, but I'm sorry.
I mean, before Victoria from Marduk, I saw them like 5 times, never liked them, and they are not from north of Sweden, they are like from Norrköping, that is basically nearby you.
So they're not even both from the north. Oh, that's embarrassing, because I'm sitting here with the book, the Bloodfire Death book that I've been reading for a while now, and I actually have been... Now that you said Norrköping and Dark Funeral, then I remember. Ah, oh, Jesus.
But because they was like
a festival in North Shopping, Black Christmas, and the first 2 years they played the both days, and man, what you see there is just a wall of sound. You don't understand nothing, because for example some other blacked band like Niflheim, you can you know they have a black metal motifs, but you can hear the guitars, you can hear the vocals, you can hear everything. With Marduk there was like nothing more.
Man, I don't really see it that way.
I mean live when you see it live.
Yeah, I could definitely imagine, but I don't think there's a lot of extreme metal that sounds good live, to be honest. I'm kind of with you there, because I remember like seeing, I mean, we talk about bands that are blackened in their genre.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking back to when I went to see Gehenna a couple of years back. I mean, they actually have they actually have riffs, like you said, riffs and the vocals you can hear, and like, you know, they have like choruses that are catchy and whatever. So they are like they are
sorry to disturb you. I just want to say that we are speaking about the Swedish Gehenna, because there is like a black metal band from Norway, from Canada or USA, something like this. We are not speaking about them, we are speaking about the Swedish Gehenna.
Oh, well, I thought that was obvious, but I guess it's good to clear things out, because you never know what band you're talking about. So we totally went on a tangent, but I don't think it's too it's not too unrelated to the subject which I wanted to discuss, which isn't really it's not really a hard subject, but I have a question for you, Daro.
Yeah, sure.
Are you true? Are you a true metaller? You're not. Okay.
No, because I take a shower. Otherwise, if I was true, I'm not going to take a shower, because I'm going to get rust.
You know, that's kind of funny, actually. Because in this, in the Bloodfire Death book, there was a... I mean, what sparred me to talk about... I mean, we're going to talk about trueness, you know. What you know, the trueness in the metal community and whatever. And the thing that I read the chapter in this book anyway about the black metal scene in Sweden, and it was very interesting, because everything was evolving very quickly in the late 80s, early 90s, you know, with the extreme genres of metal.
Yeah, and that's not only in Sweden, that was also in Norway, because you remember how fast the metal scene boomed there as well, the black metal scene.
You know, when it comes to Sweden and Norway, there really isn't any distinction between the scenes, I would say. Because, I mean, people from Sweden and Norway were hanging out with each other, you know, doing questionable things at times, and but we'll get into that. But you know, I'm saying that, you know, when you're saying, well, not only Sweden, Norway as well, but I mean, my point is, there's not really a difference. I mean, there's not really a difference between Sweden and Norway. They are basically the same in this kind of way, you know.
Yeah, but Sweden is better.
I mean, it depends. I mean, you're a death metal guy, so I guess... because, to be honest, I mean, there was more of a death metal scene here in Sweden than there were in Norway.
Yeah, exactly.
But...
Exactly, and...
But the thing was, where death metal began... where death metal ended and where black metal began, that's sort of a muddy waters type of a territory. Because there were, like, black metal bands in Norway, for instance, that started out playing, you know, sort of a death metal sounding-ish kind of a thing before
that, yeah,
they
Dark
turned
Throne.
Into black metal.
Dark Throne was one of them.
Yeah.
And also don't forget one of the vocalists of Mayhem actually is from Sweden, Deft, and he was at the same band with LG Petrov, Morbid. Before LG Petrov became a vocalist, he was playing drums.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, there's a little bit of a history around that too, because Dead was a little bit of a eccentric, theatrical kind of a guy. He was really into like creating an atmosphere. Because another funny bit from this book, it's from the chapter about Dead actually, was that during the time of Morbid, they had a song called Disgusting Semla. And for those of you international newers who don't know what a semla is, it's a Swedish pastry, which is fucking gloriously good. And the thing was, when they played this song live, Disgusting Semla, they would actually, you know, make some semlas. Usually they didn't use whipped cream like you should, but they put like oatmeal in it instead, and they threw that shit in the audience. I'm not kidding. they made like a bunch of like disgusting semlas, which they threw into the audience just for, you know.
That remind me about one story that Bishop and tell me a couple of years ago. We was at Muscle Rock once again, and he told me in the beginning when Mefurash started. Mefurash is one black metal band, I think from Stockholm, doesn't matter, I'm not a fan of them. So they start to play in some bar or whatever, but for some reason there was again some bakery shit, and there was canela bule.
Ah, yeah, and cinnamon bun.
And yeah, and Jimmy was like, you sound like hungry, and start to throw this shit at them.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Good old stories.
But Dead was one thing is that he, I think he kind of pushed this true thing in a way, because he was obsessed with death. Of course, I think most people know about that. But one thing that I also read in the book was he was a huge Bathory fan back in the day, and he, you know, viewed Corton, you know, Ace, as like the they sort of had this picture, this image of you know, Ace as this truest man alive, because, you know, when he posed with for pictures in the early Bathory things, he, you know, he would be walking around with like chicken bones around his neck and, you know, eating raw meat and whatever.
And shooting our cats.
Yeah, whatever. So there was like this record signing in Stockholm where I don't remember for which record it was. It was the second or third Bathory record, I think. And Dead and his pals, they were so disappointed because Ace didn't really dress like he did in those pictures. He was, I mean, the guy, he had like, you know, big hair, bandana, and blue spandex. No, maybe it was even pink spandex. I don't know. And he basically looked like a, you know, like a caricature of a rock star.
Like a Steel Panther.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they were expecting like, you know, this guy dressing in leather pants and like, you know, bones and shit, and out comes this Yngwie Malmsteen looking character, and they were like, oh man, what a disappointment. So that basically planted the seed in a way in Dead's and many other people's heads that, you know, you can't just sing about this shit. You gotta live this shit, you know.
Yeah, like me.
So,
pretty much.
Yeah. So I mean, and that's, I mean, I couldn't say that trueness began there, because if you think about, you know, I mean, the term true. You should never say who invented anything, because then you'll start a fist fight. But I think one of the early adopters, at least, of this true thing, I think it must have been Manowar. I think that's the earliest I've seen.
I'm not gonna be surprised, man, because, you know,
Joy Mayo always have like half our speech about how true they are and how we are our brothers and sisters and whatever bullshit.
I mean, they've always been talking about death to false metal. I mean, I think they've said it since like day one, basically.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I like Manowar, but especially the last decade, they became such a thieves. When I say thieves, I mean they charge you for a fucking tons of money just to go to a gig, for a fucking normal gig.
Yeah.
And you remember when I was at your place when I bought a ticket for a Manowar that was supposed to play?
Yeah, I think we brought it up more than once on the show actually. But
yeah, but still, come on, man. Probably we have some new listeners. Otherwise,
that is true.
Same shit. Who cares?
That is true.
And I buy a ticket for the festival. It cost like 160 dollars or what, 1600 Swiss crowns, and just for a Manowar that gonna play the day before at the same place, it was about 140 dollars or 1400 crowns, something like this.
Yeah, it was fucking insane. Yeah, I remember during that period I had such a tight budget, you know, when it came to money. So they basically, their ticket prices were so fucking high that, you know, I couldn't really afford it at all. I mean, if I bought a ticket, I wouldn't have like food for the month, basically. So I mean, so yeah. Nah, it was it kind of sucked. And I mean they were at least one of the the best band in the world for me for a while, but now I don't think.
Like I said, man, for me still Manowar is one of my favorite band. But let's give the compare. They couldn't play at this. I think the community say no, it's too loud or whatever bullshit, and they say okay, we are canceled the gig. So they give us the money, and the band that played on the place of Manowar was Wasp. The ticket for Wasp was like 400 crowns or 40 bucks US dollar. So you can see how big is the difference.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's some theories about why the ticket prices are that high, or I don't know if it is because they don't. I mean, maybe it is because they do it themselves and not through an official promoter or whatever. I think it might be that, but I mean, the prices have just been increasing, and you know, the prices, I don't really mind it, at least if they can defend it in a great way. But Manowar has never been, during these last years, they've always been like, oh, if you can't pay it, then you're not a true fan. So it's like, okay, well,
yeah, they became like a Kiss.
What?
They became like Kiss.
All right, you're gonna have to enlighten me on that, because I have no idea. Did Kiss charge thrice the price of a regular ticket for a show or what? I have no idea. You're gonna enlighten me. Sorry.
Yeah, man. Not only I don't know how much is the price of the ticket for a regular Kiss gig, but they have a price. If you want to take a picture, for example, with someone of Kiss, they charge you and whatever bullshit.
Well, I mean, that's one thing, but for the show, I mean, that can't be right. I mean, they played at Sweden Rock Festival. I mean, come on.
I'm gonna check now, because Kiss are supposed to come this year at Sweden, so I'm gonna check the price of the ticket. Bear with me.
Alright, I'll entertain the audience during the time you're checking that out. And we went on a tangent again, but yeah, Manowar, I think, not the first, but probably the earliest adopter of this true metal. The true metal as a term, I think, because I don't think people started
to... Oh, dude.
What?
So, I'm right now at KISS. They're selling the ticket. Seating place, best seating place. I'm looking at Stockholm gig. Are 1,600, almost 600 crowns, you know, because you pay also some fee after that. Golden Circle standing place, 1,500 crowns.
That's the space, you know, closest to the stage. Right?
Yeah, like a front row.
Okay.
I mean,
1,500 for that. I guess I can get it in one way.
I'm gonna send you directly a link. Yeah. You can check it now.
I'll check it. But you know, I don't find that. You know, you said 1,500 for front row ticket. You know, I actually don't mind that.
The regular standing place is about 900.
Oh, what the fuck? Yeah,
Sitting place. You see it? I send you.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Okay, well, this is. That's
the Stockholm gig. They have also at Gothenburg. In Gothenburg, man, it's even worse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's even worse. It's like Golden Circle place. It's like 1.8.
Damn.
The cheapest one is like 1,000.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy. But I mean, could this be?
Here is the.
Could this be a COVID, a post-COVID thing? Maybe. You know that it was supposed to take place a year earlier, but you know.
Dude, everything. Have increased the price, but I mean, come on, 2,000. I'm gonna check the ticket for a 3-day festival, Muscle Rock, was 1.3.
Oh my god, well, okay, I see here
1,300 crown or 130 US dollar, and it's for 3 days with about 40 bands. For KISS, it's like between 1.6 to 1.8.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. I mean, I'm looking here at the Gothenburg prices here, and the cheapest ticket, which is a shitty seated place on the side, is like almost 1,000 crowns, like $100. And I mean, the Golden Circle, as they call it, along the stage, is like 17, you know. I'm glad I'm not a huge fan of KISS in this case, because I would be like I would be on suicide watch if I you know, if you really fucking love KISS and you're not a rich guy. I mean, but I don't know, it feels like I haven't seen too many concerts coming up, really, and I don't know.
There was a couple. Now I'm going to check the Gefle. 3 days at Gefle is about 2,100 or something like this. Two-day ticket is 1.5.
But that's a price increase as well, though.
Yeah, but but once again, it's a festival. 3 days or 2 days ticket. For the same amount of money that you're going to pay for like 2 hours watching a KISS.
Yeah, well, I get you. But everything has gone up, so...
Well, yeah, definitely. Well, because, you, first of all, you have like 2 years without gigs thanks to a fucking coronavirus. And then also the inflation of the money is so ridiculous.
Yeah, there's a huge inflation, that is true.
So and you know, when you are in the band, if you are a small band, you basically don't pay anything. If you get some money, you are splitting between the members. But if you are with a middle type of middle band to big band, you are paying for the whole crew, management and whatever. So it's normal to be more expensive, but come on, Geffen Metal, it's going to be so many bands. I'm just going to... I remember Hiran going to play, Exas going to play... What is the fucking bands list I want to check? Entombed, Emperor, The Gates, Mayhem, D-Side, Marduk, Unleash, Magua. There is such a good, big band, and again, the price of the ticket is for 3 days almost it's a little bit expensive than Kiss. Come on.
Sorry, I'm laughing, but it's funny to hear how invested you are in this. Well, I mean, thank God I don't like Kiss. And I don't know, I wouldn't like to see. I've seen that Manowar actually is doing something concert. I mean, they said like 2 or 3 years ago that they were going to stop this shit. I mean, quitting forever, which is, in this kind of business, is never true, apparently, because they're still touring. I think they're going to play some Mexico bullshit.
Dude, Scorpion quit touring from 2010. I was on their farewell tour 2010. Now it's 2022 and they still are making gigs.
Fuck, Kiss, are they really? Because they quit playing in 2017 when I went to... No, 2018, I think. When I went to Sweden Rock, they played like their last gig, it was said.
Kiss quit like 3 times. Motley Crue, they quit a couple of times and now they're back again. So, like you say, they're, at least if some of the members didn't die, they're not quitting.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a marketing ploy.
Yeah, especially for the big bands. Because even you can see the small band that are actually playing... just for a fun, okay, obviously they gonna charge you a couple of bucks, but after 30 years they came back like SDI, like Iron Angel, like Exhumer, like Matt Butcher now are gonna make a reunion gig at 22nd of April at Oberhausen. So that I understand, but just like you say, a marketing trick to charge you a fucking ton of money, no thanks.
I mean, it's very similar to it's basically like this thing, you know, it's sort of like what was I going to say? It's sort of like a limited edition kind of a thing. Get it before it's too late, you know. It's sort of that kind of thing. And I think it's so fucking, I mean, I think the only band that held on to that promise that it was going to be their final tour was Rush. But then again, I mean, Neil Peart, he fucking died. So they're never coming back, man. So, but that is really the thing, right? I mean, if you really want something to end, someone's gotta die.
And not always that's the case, you know. Some of the band... the members die and they're still touring, but
well, I mean,
one thing,
there are cases where that doesn't work though. I mean,
I'm just gonna bring it for the last time about Kiss. They always said they're like, they don't want to be a band, they want to be a brand like Coca-Cola and whatever, because if that's the case, even if they die, it's going to continue the Kiss army and will dart you forever.
Yeah, but at least they're being honest. At least they're saying, hey, we're not a band, we're McDonald's.
Yeah, but they're not honest, because they say we are quitting, and they quit like 3 or 4 times and they still touring.
Well, I mean, they're just playing. They're playing mind games with that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of like, I mean, okay, I said McDonald's. Let's do that analogy. Like imagine like McDonald's saying like, we're going to quit, we're just going to quit. We're going to close every McDonald's around the world. I mean, it's not logical, don't get me wrong, but it's a hypothetical, right? Let's say that they say that, okay, we're going to close all McDonald's, so you have like a half a year to consume McDonald's before we're gone.
Yeah.
What do you think would happen in that case? People would consume McDonald's like it was the end of the fucking world.
I mean, come on, man. You saw what happened with the toilet paper before 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the KISS guys, they're fucking smart because they're saying, we're never going to do this again. Catch us while we're still here. And yeah, then people, that brings some fucking urgency to people. They'll be like, oh my fucking God, they're quitting. Or they're saying that they're going to quit. I mean, whether or not it's true. I mean, do you want to be that guy that didn't go to that concert just because you didn't believe they were going to quit? I mean...
Like I said, I saw them once 2008 when the price was how much I paid in that period. I paid like 300 crowns, like 30 bucks, 2008. Mm. And for Metallica I paid about the same amount of money. Mm. But since the inflation of the money it's so much, I totally get it. Once again, I'm glad to see that I saw KISS once because it's an experience. I'm not a huge fan of KISS. I like some of the song, but I'm not a huge fan of KISS. And if I have an opportunity to go to gig like a stagehand and whatever, sure, I'm going and I'm going to enjoy the gig. But to pay this amount of money that costs more than a fucking festival, no way.
Nah. Yeah, I think we've been doing enough for the first half of the show.
Yeah, because I need to smoke.
Yeah, and I need to fill up my drinks and rest my poor ears because they are fucked. This headset, I really need to get something else because these are really nice, but you know, to have them on for a longer time, it's not a hit.
Do you have something to play this week?
No, I don't, unfortunately. I've actually tried to get in touch with two or three musicians, but they haven't responded yet, unfortunately.
I have a couple of music, so we're going to play today Rifle. Actually, you play at the same gig with Rifle back in the days.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. So David yesterday when played at Freya's Mangi, I asked him, can I play Rifle? And he said, sure, man, do what you want. All so right. We're going to play some Rifle today. And we're coming after this song.
We'll be right back.
And we are back after Rifle with Rock and Roll Desecrator. Hope you enjoy some rock and roll.
Fuck yeah.
Man, when, I want to mention something. Last episode, you remember, was about the weird formats?
Yeah, we were talking about formats and shit. That was fun.
And there was... Yeah, and there was some fun synchronicity about our show, our podcast, and our brothers, if I am inspiring guys from the Heavy Metal Hangover, because they also spoke about weird formats, and we released our shows exactly the same day.
Really?
Yeah.
Again? Shit.
Yeah, man.
I mean, we fucking are the colonial version of that fucking show. We are basic. Fuck. I want there to be more like metals colonial stations out there in the world. There needs to be like a fucking Japanese version, metal seppuku or something, or there's got to be an Aussie one, metal cunts.
Yeah. Because like we said before, we lift the idea, because I really like the format that they are doing. It's not like today we are gonna speak about the history of black metal. They became this year and this year, and they have a boom this year and this year. That's boring shit, man.
I mean, it's always good to have an idea, and I think we found something now, because I think before... I've noticed that, you know, the episode you did research for was basically useless, because you never talked about the thing you researched for anyway.
Most of the time you done the research. I never done the
research. Well, I noticed that it's like pointless, because it never gets any airtime anyway. So that's why I thought for today I was talking about trueness, and it spun out like fucking crazy, and I love it. This is the kind of show I want to do. I don't want to do like a show where let's talk band for... I mean, I like that. I mean, the Maiden episodes, they were fun, but they weren't just...
Yeah, so
they weren't just Maiden, though. We talked about a bunch of other shit as well, you know.
Yeah, but once in a while, it's good to just bring some serious topic, but most of the time, like, this free format is way better, I think.
I mean, especially for a show called fucking Metal Brain Fart. I mean, do you expect something other than bullshitting, honestly? I mean, I don't.
Yeah, because Chris from Heavy Metal Hangover was like... Because they have this two times in the year rating the album that release, and... some of and because they're we are like them free format show, and they are going to attention, and there was some comment that, oh, you guys make me feel stupid, just say which is the best album. Come on, man, this is a fun show. It's not like stupid metal suck and whatever bullshit it's out there making a rated review of all the fucking albums.
Yeah, and I mean, reviews, I mean, okay, I've done a couple of reviews for this program, but I mean, you know, there sometimes there isn't always too much to say, you know. I mean, sometimes an album is just good, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing more to it. And that's the thing with Pick of the Week, you know, a lot of the time it's like, I usually pick things I've listened to. They might not be like my favorite album I've heard or something. It's just something I've heard that I thought was interesting and I want to, you know, spotlight. But it doesn't necessarily have to be like the best fucking band in the world or whatever. Or yeah. I mean, that's sort of our format. We try to spotlight a bunch of cool bands that we find, and maybe some of you guys will, you know, listen. I mean, at least I listen to your picks. You know, whenever you find something interesting, I check it out. And a couple of times I've liked the things that you've recommended. Like the knife thing. Or knife. not the knife, knife.
Yeah.
It was a cool band.
And most of the time, like you see, we are making like Oldie but Goldie, and yeah, obviously we are not every time. Today it's gonna be my pick of the week, Iron Maiden with the Number of the Beast, or Metallica with the Black Album.
Yeah, that's kind of boring to do. I mean, a lot of people already know, so I tried to refrain from that. But the thing was, I remember starting this show, it's been a year now, well over a year.
Yeah.
And in the beginning it was like, fuck, I don't even listen to metal anymore, what am I gonna pick? So it was like, you know, going through the vault. Okay, what did I used to like when I liked this? you know. But I think I've done a good transition back to being somewhat of a metalhead or something. I don't know. I wouldn't really call myself that, but yeah, whatever. I wear band shirts and jeans, so I guess I am a metalhead whether I like it or not.
Oh, dude, don't tell me, because unfortunately I put my iconic vest into rest.
What?
My iconic vest is in retirement.
Oh, what happened? Why?
Well, it's basically have like 3 centimeter of textile left on the left shoulder.
Oh.
So pretty much it's fucked up. But hey man, it's more than 10 years of this vest. So I need to find a vest and resew all my patch, or just get like, I don't know, some glass case and put it to display.
That's kind of crazy that the vest itself, usually it's like the patches could like fall off or something, but yeah, what do you know? Yeah, my vest is still in good condition, but the thing is, I like my vest, but I feel silly wearing it nowadays.
Dude, I love my vest, especially this one, because after that I done like 2 more vest, and before that I have 1 more, and this particular one I wear it almost daily for more than 10 years.
Oh well, that explains it, I guess. Why it's but for my case, the reason why mine is in such a good condition, I think I haven't worn it in like 3 years maybe. And whenever I wear it, I feel stupid because, you know, I don't have long hair anymore. I have like short hair and grandpa glasses. I look like a fucking idiot when I wear like clothes like that. So it's like, nah.
Why like? Aren't you?
Aren't I what?
You say I look like an idiot. Why like?
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe I do. I probably do, but you know, I don't wanna. But no, okay. I mean, I look stupid. It's sort of like, imagine like a regular guy putting on a, you know, a battle vest. It just looks.
It's okay. I mean, if it's with a good band patches, it's quite okay.
Do you know what I need? Do you know what I need? I need a long hair wig in order to wear that thing, because it doesn't feel right.
No, just shave your head. It's gonna be better.
Yeah, that is true, actually.
Because with a long wig, it's gonna be even more silly, believe me.
Yeah, probably. The thing is my fucking glasses, man. I don't really want to wear glasses, because I look like a fucking dork with glasses. Always have, always will. Because, you know, my sight is so fucking bad that I have to have, you know, my glass have to be particularly thick in order for me to see something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but come on, man, it's not so bad like Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys.
It is close, though. It is fucking...
No, it's not.
That's a perfect visual representation how I look. Imagine Bubbles with a battle vest. That is how I fucking look when I put that shit on.
hey, come on, man, he's a fan of Rush like you.
Yeah, I fucking went to the show. It was fucking decent.
Fucking.
And not only that, but they also have a podcast.
Oh, man, I haven't checked that out. I wonder if it's on Spotify. What do they call it? Do they just call it the Trailer Park?
Just give me a second, man. I'm gonna touch.
I'm gonna show.
I think it's Park After Dark.
Yeah, here it is. Park After Dark. I just searched for the Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah.
God damn. Okay, they released an episode like 6 days ago. Okay. Huh? They seem to be on a weekly basis.
And yeah, when we speak about Trailer Park Boys, come on, guys, it's a funny show, and also have some metal scene. I mean, Skid Row is there, Rush is there, and there is some other references to Metallica, Maiden, and Mudder, so yeah.
And I really want to get back into it, but the thing is, when I watched Trailer Park Boys, I was watching it on Netflix. And the thing is, I'm kind of, I kind of don't want to get Netflix again, so I don't know where I left off.
Because the other option is to pay a little bit more and to Swearnet and watch it from there.
Yeah, but that isn't. I mean, paying for it or not is not the problem. I could watch it from Swearnet, sure, but the thing is, I don't know where I left off. That's the thing. I don't remember which episode.
Yeah, man. But with the Trailer Park Boys, you always can start it from the beginning. I saw them like 3 times, the whole 15 series.
Ah, fuck, that is season. True, actually, because, there are some funny episodes that I want to rewatch. So I should probably get back into it when I've finished watching Babylon 5. So, I'll get into that by then. I've been binging a lot of series.
But let's get back in the topic about Trueness.
Yeah, sure. I guess.
I mean, a lot of the band, they have huge reputation about drinking and what they're like, Metallica. Don't forget, there was like Alcoholica. And now it's like... James is it's not drinking anymore, and every time, especially for the thrash metal, I'm very like shocked when I hear that some band doesn't drink, for example.
Yeah, I'm not really that surprised anymore, because I've seen to myself, and I've seen, and what I've read, this, you know, about bands' histories and whatever. It always seems like a lot of these bands start out when they're pretty young, and they always I've noticed when it comes to metal bands, especially. I mean, they spend probably as much time doing music as they are partying, in many ways. I'm not saying all bands, but I'm saying a lot of bands.
Yeah, but I think most they start music so they can party, and at the end they party more than creating music as well.
Yeah. I'm just looking at myself here. I mean, I remember when I was 16, and I was playing in bands and shit. I mean, during our rehearsals, it was more important to like procure beer than it was to, like, you know, do the rehearsal. You know,
back in the day when I was at that sentence, and after that with no respect, every time at the rehearsal, if you don't have a beer, you are out from the band, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it was similar to what I was doing. I mean, I thought like I was the that we were the only ones doing it. Because, I mean, I think that's an old school kind of a thing, because I remember during that time, there was a bunch of other bands that we knew, you know, in our rehearsal space and whatever.
Yeah.
And they they never thought of bringing drinks to, you know, the rehearsal space.
You know? I remember one rehearsal room that you had at Sollentuna, and I got there with beer, and you and the rest of the guys, hey man, you cannot drink here, and I was like, what the fuck?
But that was actually because, that's the thing, a lot of these places where there are rehearsal spaces in Sweden are like these kid-friendly schools, places.
Yeah.
So you can't. That's really the reason. But there are places you can rehearse where you don't have to adhere to that. But that's why, yeah. I think people don't. I mean, they get used to like not drinking, basically, because because there are those rules. Because if they find you drinking, I mean, they're actually, when you sign the contract for these rehearsal spaces at these, kid-friendly places, you have to, like, swear that you don't consume alcohol within, you know, the place.
Yeah.
Which is kind of silly, but, I mean, fair enough, I guess, because you're around, like, you know, youths and whatever. But, you know,
let's get real, man. In Sweden, we have so weird rules.
Yeah, with alcohol, definitely. It's
not only with the alcohol. I mean, right now for the festival, you cannot smoke in the festival area, even if it's open air. I understand if it's on the hall or a club or whatever, closed space, yeah, but in open area.
I mean, dude,
that's fucking stupid.
I mean, in Sweden, you're basically like a second-class citizen if you are a smoker. I mean, trust me, I know. My mother is she's still a smoker, and she says that, you know, I mean, you can't be anywhere taking a cig. You know, it's like,
nah.
I mean,
yeah.
They're like you said, they're like places outside which are smoke-free, and that's fucking crazy. I mean, especially if you live in the city, where there are like a bunch of like fucking fumes from cars and, you know, other shit, and they shit on you for smoking. That's kind of, yeah, it's bullshit. I think it's bullshit. At least, I mean, there are people that think it's so nice that you can go outside without somebody smoking, at the same time as like a big ass fucking truck, you know, powers by and like. Spews fucking
diesel.
Yeah, exactly, diesel fumes. That's all right, but you know, smoking, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I understand, because before I became a smoker, I was also anti-smoking idiot, but I understand for a closed space, but whatever.
But here's another thing that's fucking annoyed me about this smoking ban that's been going on. You know, I think it's fine that restaurants be like, okay, we're not going to allow smoking inside. You know what? I'm fine with that. However,
yeah,
I think there should be like restaurants and bars and whatever that can choose whether or not they want to be a smoke bar or non-smoke bar.
There was back in the days in Bulgaria, but after that they said, nope, if you want, it's supposed to be smoke-free.
That's fucking stupid. I think that's an EU rule, by the way.
Yeah, the whole EU.
I think it's silly. I'm not an avid smoker. I'm just a party smoker. Or
even
I remember when you used to live in Stockholm. Every time when we meet, probably you smoke one, max two cigarettes for like. 3-4 times when we meet.
Yeah, well, I'm not.
It's not every time.
I like to smoke, but I mean, I'm not an avid smoker. But I think it's like even then, even if I'm not a smoker, I think these rules are kind of silly. They basically don't want people to smoke at all, and I mean, I guess that's all right. I mean, sure, whatever. I mean, but yeah, I don't know. I don't really like it. Fuck, this episode is all over the place.
Yeah, that's how we go from black metal to smoking area.
But I was kind of curious, because you were saying about the aspect of trueness. You were talking about Metallica and drinking. Have they been called posers for not drinking, you mean? Because that's something new for me.
No. I mean, because what I hear from the last episode of Heavy Metal Hangover, Chris or Jay, I don't remember who, said that Metallica released a whiskey. And come on, man, everyone knows James is supposed to be an ex-alcoholic, so that's like, what the fuck?
but then again, I mean, I don't know how it is with the rest of the guys, but I don't think they are sober. Well, I wouldn't know. Maybe they are. I have no idea.
No idea. But, because, for example, Exodus, almost none of them are drinking.
Anymore, or
yeah, Gary Holt, he stopped drinking for about a couple of months ago.
I wasn't asking about Gary Holt. I was pointing out that Destruction aren't drinking anymore. Or have they never? Or were they clean all the time? Or what do you?
No, they. For example, Rob Dukes, that was. Vocalist of Exodus for 10 years and now it's on Generation Q. He stopped drinking for like 30 years ago. Gary Holt for a couple of months. Zetro and Uder and the rest of the guys basically.
Am I having a stroke almost, or are Gary Holt and Rob Dukes in Destruction? I didn't know they were members of that.
Not Destruction, Exodus. Exodus. I'm speaking about Exodus.
I thought you said Destruction.
No, Exodus.
I was like, what the fuck? Okay. do go on, please.
And Sodom, for example, everyone know they love beer, but before the gigs, for example, they drink one or two beers max, and during the gig, one or two beers.
Yeah.
And after that, yeah. But one thing that shocked me back in the day, like 2009, when I meet them at the backstage, was that in that lineup was Tom Angel Reaper, Bernerman, and Bobby on the drums. And Angel Reaper and Bernerman, they was drinking normal beer, and Bobby was drinking alcohol-free. And I was like, what the fuck? And last weekend, actually on Sunday, was a gig in Fres Mangio. And because, you know, I'm working on Monday.
Yeah.
I try to not get shit-faced. So I drink like three normal beers. And after that, I order alcohol-free. Man, this alcohol-free, it's so fucked up.
You don't even manage to fool your taste buds a little bit.
No,
you know, having like two regulars and then an alcohol-free one that could.
Yeah,
I mean,
but it tastes like shit, man.
Really? Which one do they have?
Yeah.
Which one do they have there?
I don't remember.
Because if it's like,
I think was Grosch.
Grosch as an alcohol-free.
Grosch.
Oh, that could probably be. I haven't
Grosch
had that one, but I think it
Grosch
could be.
Or Carlsberg. My bad, Carlsberg.
Oh, okay. Well, that one is fucking awful. I've actually had a couple of run-ins with alcohol-free because I think one time when I went to like community college, I decided to like go like for a sober month, and. There was a party in the dorm and I didn't want to be left out, so I bought like alcohol-free beer just to, you know, be with them. But I, you know,
yeah, the only time when I was drinking like not alcohol-free but like 2.8 was when I'm with a car, and the last beer that I take is like a couple of hours before I'm driving.
Yeah, well, I mean, Yeah, I mean, there are good alcohol-free beers, is what I'm saying. But, you know, usually it's... I've noticed at bars, at least. I remember going to a restaurant with the family for some... I think it was last summer. And I was, like, you know, considering, okay, I'm going to school, because I was doing studying back then. I was like, okay, I gotta go to school tomorrow, so I can't really drink too many strong ones. So I went through, like, the drinking menu, and I saw, okay, what do they have that is alcohol-free? And I saw that it was, like, this little can of alcohol-free IPA for the same price yeah. as a full-length, you know, pint of
normal beer.
And I was like, you know what, if I'm just going to drink one thing, then I'll rather just go with the regular one, because it's cheaper. That I think is kind. Yeah. I think it's kind of shit. If you wanna, as a society, if you don't want people to drink, why not make like the alcohol-free alternatives like dirt cheap instead? I don't get it.
No, because the alcohol-free it's way cheaper in the bar, but especially in Freya Smangio. But like I said, the taste is awful.
Yeah, well, I mean it's Carlsberg. I mean.
Not only that, I'm speaking about even in Bulgaria when I drink some alcohol-free, because I have a bet that I'm not gonna drink for three weeks, and the only thing I drink was alcohol-free. Man, I just I bought like once 3 cans of this alcohol-free. And I said, no, I'm going to stick with a Coca-Cola or Fanta or whatever bullshit.
I mean, it's probably better. But was it like Bulgarian beer or...?
Yeah, it was Bulgarian beer.
It was a local thing.
Yeah.
Man, I can imagine, because truth be told, beer from that particular region is... I mean, it's not really that good to begin with. I mean, it's decent. I mean, I'm not shitting on all beers from the Balkan era, but I mean a lot of it is very how should I say, light in the taste.
They're lager, and I when I'm in Bulgaria basically I drink one or two label of beer, that's it, because most of them, like you say, it's like shit,
and they taste very similar as well, but I mean they are decent, but you know, if you take away the alcohol from them, it's like no point to them really. I feel but yeah
like I saw one meme. It's like vibrator without the battery is like alcohol free beer. You pull it but you didn't feel the buzz.
I mean it's like yeah I mean it's nah I think you have a point there. I mean it's better to like stick with like soda. I mean, really, yeah. I mean, it really depends. I mean, I think the only case where I would drink alcohol beer nowadays is if for food. I mean, like a beverage for something you eat, you know, then it could be fine. But, you know, I think it's pretty pointless.
It's like drinking vodka, alcohol-free vodka, man.
Yeah, it's fucking water.
Yeah.
Okay, so alcohol. What are we doing now again?
I don't know anymore.
I mean,
I don't know anymore.
I'm sorry, guys. I mean, this episode, we have not stick to the fucking point at all.
About trueness.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of, let's get real. I'm again gonna mention Heavy Metal Hangover, because they're making some very good examples and comparison about this. It's like, for example, Alice Cooper and Vincent Furnier, or whatever is his name, is basically two different guys, and everyone know that. And because Alice Cooper is just on the stage, and Vincent is outside on private life, going playing golf, not killing some babies and whatever. And the other one is Frankenstein von whatever from Misfits, the guitarist from Misfits.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, but Danny from I don't remember. Danny, yeah, Danny, I don't remember. Sorry.
And he basically they joking. Probably he's wake up and going to a toilet. Before going to a toilet, he need to put the makeup.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've heard though that, like, the guys from Misfits, they go to like local concerts because they live in like some fucking New York place or something. I don't know. And yeah. I've heard at least that, it could be a false rumor or something, but you know, they do the makeup and shit when they go to concerts. Not a show that they're performing, but just a concert, you know?
Yeah, attending like a crowd.
Exactly, attending the concert. And I've heard that they, you know, do the thing, you know, with the hair and the makeup, but I don't know. I don't know if that's true, but I mean,
I'm not going to be surprised if it's
Nah, me neither.
So, because I know a couple of black metal bands and whatever, and they're basically, if they're going to a gig, it's like as a crowd, they're like a normal metalhead, you know, with a jacket, jeans, and t-shirt, not like putting their makeup. Imagine like Abbott from Immortal or Abbott just got to a gig attending as a crowd with his panda face.
Yeah, and I don't think they did that back in the day even, you know. I think that kind of thing, I don't remember how it was with the corpse paint thing, if it was a thing that they did for a while and then they sort of quit. I mean, I think it sort of came and went with Dead, basically. I think they kind of stopped doing that shit. I mean, after he died, I think. I mean, I don't know, because, you know, whenever you see light, I mean, there are some bands that do it still to this day, of course. I mean, but I don't know.
No, most of the black metal band are doing that, even the small band, like, for example, Wolf Cross or Burning Darkness, they're a small band, not like Mayhem, Marduk or Immortal. They're using corpse paint, but like when just going on the stage to perform, otherwise.
Yeah, well, I mean, just, in that case, it's understandable because you're putting on a show. But I was talking about that too, because I don't think. Well, I'm not qualified to talk about this, honestly, so I'm just gonna stay quiet until I know more definitely about it. But I think about, you know, the early black metal thing, I mean, you know, I was thinking about a thing, because you've been talking about a bunch of these fucking bands that you've been seeing, and they're a bunch of, like, 18-year-olds and stuff.
Yeah, the kids, yeah. Like Eternal Evil and Autonomen and Maniac.
And it was, you know, in the 90s in Norway and in Sweden, that was it was basically the same thing. These guys that, you know, were true and burning churches and, you know, planning violent acts in name of Satan, they were basically just a bunch of teenagers. They were a bunch of drunk teenagers talking about how fucking evil they could be.
They were a little bit older, because, for example, the kids that I'm referring to is like around 16. Actually, Adrian from Eternal Evil last week, I think, or 2 weeks ago, he just turned 18.
Yeah, well.
And the black metal bands was around 19.
Is there really a huge difference between a 16-year-old and a 19-year-old, honestly? Sometimes. I was basically the same fucking person on those two ages.
Your time the same as 16, but right now I'm doing my bullshit a little bit too old.
The only difference between me at 16 and me at 20 was that I was allowed to buy alcohol legally when I was 20.
Yeah.
That was basically the only difference. I think, I've grown a lot since then, I think.
But to be honest, this especially Freas Mange, when play some of the bands, like I said, the local bands like Tunomen or Eternal Evil, it really reminds me about the Bay Area, like Zetru is talking about in his podcast. Every band going to support the other band, and they're basically good friends.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's cool to see. Unfortunately, I'm not there to see it, but I believe what I hear, and it's cool.
Well, eventually you're gonna see it on 26th of June.
Well,
if you're coming.
I mean, it's one thing seeing it in a short visit. I'm talking about like seeing it. You know, I mean, you have to live somewhere to.
Yeah,
really see something, you know.
Because I'm thinking to pull a gig with them, and we're going to see how it's going to be.
Like a Brain Fart and Eternal Evil gig?
No, like my birthday, and they play on my birthday.
Oh, fuck. Oh, yeah, you're having a... Oh, that's cool. Yeah,
yeah.
That could be something. Well, do we have something more... I have something I want to bring up before we end. I mean, at the end of the show, but I don't really know. I feel like we have a lot of material, enough for today. I feel pretty done.
And also the end of the just news, the end of the show, actually it's not gonna be the end of the show.
Okay, so...
Yeah, because I'm gonna send you a short interview with Speeder that I made last week. It's about 10 minutes, so when we are finished with this shit, you can touch the Speeder interview. At the end.
Okay, sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a good way. Put some bonus content out. I guess we can give our fans a little bit of a bonus since we've been gone for longer time than usual. But I'm just asking, do you feel that you have something to add? Because I'm basically finished for today.
Well... Yeah.
Before you, if you need to say something before you start your ending rant, I mean.
Yeah, exactly. I have.
Yeah.
Don't fucking make a vest with a good band and some really shitty band. Like, imagine you're doing battle vest that is mostly thrash style. Like, you have Sodom, Destruction, Megadeth, old school Metallica, and then you are putting Linkin Park, Limp Bizkit bullshit. Come on. It's stupid.
Yeah. Well, what I wanted to say was I kind of feel that you, the audience, this is a message to you out there, and I'm simply curious. We've been doing this for a year now, and you know, it's been a little bit of a bumpy road, but I think we have finally, you know, gotten our routines into this thing. But I'm just wondering to you who listen out there, how do you feel about the show? What do you like? What do you dislike? How is the production? Is the production good? Is it bad? Can it improve? Are there tips for making this show better for us? You know, I mean, any criticism is welcome. I feel like we've been doing this for such a time now that, I mean, I'm willing to hear what you people feel, what you think. I mean, what do you think about our content? Do you like the stuff we're talking about? Do you want to hear something particular? Do you like our free form things, or do you like our more analytical deep dives on stuff? You know, just comment on our Facebook, and you can send an email, of course, as well. But Facebook is the best way. So, just send us a message if you have some feedback. That's all I had to say, really.
And about this, it doesn't matter if we have like 10 listeners that is true to our show, or we have 10,000. We are speaking what we think about, and I don't feel like to quit. It doesn't matter if, like I said, if it's 10 listeners or 10,000. And we're going to continue anyway.
Nah, we're just curious to know. I mean, it's important. I mean, if you guys that are listening out there, I mean, you're troopers. And if you have, you know, something you want to bring up to us, I mean, send us a message. I'm all ears. You know, I mean, of course, I mean, I want to do the show as well. But, you know, it's always good to, you know, get an outsider's perspective, you know, to what you're doing.
Yeah, and some ideas.
Yeah, exactly. So that's just all I'm asking. I want to hear some feedback. So, yeah, that's basically it for me. Should we do the plugs and get the fuck out of here?
Yeah, check as usual. Check Freas Mangio if you're in Stockholm, because every week they have different gigs. I think this week it's gonna be I forget. But you always can check. It's gonna be Frantic Amber and Headache and at Friday. But you can see the whole program, that the whole schedule till pretty much the end of the year, that is confirmed booked. Check Vacant Metal Radio and my show Metal Hell, supposed to be every Sunday from 6 till 8. And once again, thanks for listening to our podcast. Check our facebook.com/metalbrainfart. Now Brain Fart Podcast is gonna show up. And if you want to see us on tour, you can donate some money, because I know in this difficult time with the price of the gasoline is like 28 crowns, stupidly, but I'm bet nobody gonna have extra money. So, but till then, stay tuned or be doomed.